Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much for what you are doing. We are so encouraged. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us victory over the enemy. We thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. You're going to show justice in the earth. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Okay, I think I'm going to continue with Delivered from Captivity, number 3. And it's a wonderful one, I tell you. The first revelation is they are coming for the factious. Sandy Shaw got this on 6:30:20. Donna Merlene transcribed it for her. Thank you so much. First, I want to say that this political war against the faction and the ultimate win over them is a parallel to the same war of the religious faction against the man-child bride. Keep in mind the parallel when you read this story, you listen to this story. The man-child has been shown in the dreams and scripture as a giant who conquers the Edomite faction. David was anointed, and he conquered the old man in Jebus, which became the Jerusalem bride. And then David, as man-child, went to conquer Esau's descendants, the Edomites, who factioned against them. So, just the dream, without any notes, I sent it to the president because it's very interesting, and I'm sure he got really tickled by it. The way this dream starts, Sandy says, there's a man running down a dark hall. And from this point, I see what he sees. He opens the two doors, and the room is dimly lit. And on the other part of the room, I see men with assault rifles, some dressed in camel, others in green, and others in black. There's about 100 people in the room. I think 100 could represent completion here. And I don't know who they are, but they are arguing. That's good. And then I see Hillary Clinton with Barack Obama. Hillary is arguing. You told me I had nothing to worry about, that I was going to win. And Obama said, well, you also told me that your satanic friends were going to stop the true believers from praying. So what you're seeing here is actually what we've been sharing with you for a while is going to happen and does happen. The faction reaping what they sow, factioned against each other. Yes, and it's just starting. It's going to be amazing what they tell on each other, I tell you. And that's when I saw the man that was running. He was a giant, like King Kong. And in one hand, he grabbed Hillary, and in the other hand, Obama. Then they started yelling at the giant, quote, you stupid fool, bigger men than you have tried to take me out, unquote. And then Obama said, quote, do you know who I am? I'm the President of the United States, unquote. The giant turned around and started running with them in his hand. And when he got to the door outside, there was an old-fashioned paddy wagon. Now it was dusk, and he threw them into the paddy wagon. And that's when I saw that the giant was H.G. Barr. So now Obama and Hillary are president of the paddy wagon and Gitmo. Now it's dark, and there's an old building. The giant walked in there and opened the double doors. It looked like a courtroom full of judges. Boy, we sure would like to see these liberal judges taken down. They're a bunch of liars and thieves and have made laws across this land that favor the wicked. The giant went in there and grabbed four in one hand and four in the other hand, and they all were panicking and screaming, quote, "You can't incarcerate us. We are judges. We are the law," unquote. He turned around and went outside and threw them in with Hillary and Obama. These constitutionally lawless judges who destroy the country for the faction are going to get taken down. The judges started yelling. They were saying, quote, "You said we could do whatever we wanted as long as we kept your agenda and do the bidding for you," unquote, which they have not done. I mean, that's one thing with the factious people. They say things that everybody knows is stupid and a lie. They have not done it. And when the giant turned around, I saw that it was Trump. They've been trumped. And Barr went to Adam Schiff's house. Oh, my. It was the middle of the night. And they do a lot of this in the middle of the night. They use the military, of course. It was the middle of the night. He grabbed him in one hand and threw him in another paddy wagon. And he was saying, quote, "You can't take me in. You don't have the authority. And who in the hell do you think you are?" Unquote. Barr said, "Shut up. You have a gag order." Yes, and we enforce the gag order in the name of Jesus. We send the angels forth to enforce the gag order and to take these people captive in the name of Jesus. And Trump goes to Nadler's house. And pulls him out of bed. And he said, quote, "You can't take me anywhere. I'm not going. Where's the media?" The bought and paid for factious media, right? "People will kill you for this," unquote. Trump throws Nadler in the paddy wagon with Adam Schiff. He's yelling, quote, "I told you I won't go. I'll have you killed for this," unquote. Trump gave him a thump on the forehead and said, "Shut up. We're all tired of hearing you talk," unquote. Yes. And there are two men talking, both of them upset. "Why haven't you stopped the true believers?" Well, as we saw earlier, it was from praying that they wanted to stop them. We've had other dreams about the demons screaming, "Find that person who's praying. Find that Christian who's praying." They don't like your praying, folks. They don't like you doing warfare even less. Okay. So, why haven't you stopped the true believers? Because, you know, obviously, the false believers are no threat to them and haven't done anything as far as bringing all this down except their vote, you know. He, that is Satan, himself told us to do whatever it takes. Quote, "Well, he told you to start the Civil War," unquote. Quote, "Well, he's not going to be happy for what is going on now," unquote. Quote, "How come you didn't know that they were going to arrest us?" Unquote. And, quote, I don't know. I can't understand it. They have a special covering. I don't know what it is. Oh, no. I feel it now.
This is a good one. I love this one.
Well, you know what? I know a lot of you love it, too. You're just like me. You want to see some justice for a change, you know, with the wicked, you know. Especially the wicked factious. Well, it's coming because this is a parallel with the spiritual, you know. And, of course, the covering here is covering the true believers. It's covering the people they are praying for. It's covering the people that are locking them up. It's covering everything that's necessary because that's what prayer does, right? Oh, no, I feel it now. Yep. So they know for some reason Satan isn't being successful anymore, you know. So she went on, now I'm standing in front of an old building. And Barr and Trump opened the doors and went down some steps. Then they opened double doors. It was a large room with people arguing against themselves. Notice, they're all arguing. This is all a faction against the faction. They're telling on one another. Notice, right in front of these people, they're telling on one another. She said, it was loud and it was hectic. There were three groups, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and Aryan Nation. Like the faction against the man-child, huh? They're just like them, aren't they? The terrorists, you know, that go and do their evil things. There were a lot of them armed with assault weapons, plus other weapons. And when they saw Barr and Trump, the leader said, attack! So they started shooting and ran to them to beat them up. But Barr and Trump both took a stance with their legs spread and their arms far apart, and the bullets bounced off their hands and went back to the sender. Well, the prayer is what's doing that, folks. They're not going to get them, you see. I will curse them that curse thee, the Lord said. He is going to bring them down. Yes, they are going to faction against one another and groups against groups and politicians against politicians, and all them are going to blame somebody else, like Hillary did after she lost. Everybody was to blame. Everybody was to blame but her. And that's really the way the faction are. They will not take responsibility for anything. They will never confess any sin. It's always somebody else. And they will put their sin on you. You did it. You did this. The same thing that they just did, you know. Silly, silly stuff. Oh, Lord, drain the swamp. Yes. The sun came out and the doors opened and more sun came in and I woke up. Sounds like a victory to me. Doesn't it sound that way to you? So, and this is interesting. I received by faith at random Daniel 5:14, and in context 13-16. Then Daniel, who is a very clear type of the man child, like Joseph, right, was brought in before the king. Oh, wait, now when did this happen? After they started locking people up? Was brought in before the king. The king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou Daniel, who art of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah? I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in thee. Yes, that's true. The man-child will be an advisor to the president like Daniel and Joseph were. And, of course, he's going to find them 100 times better than all his so-called religious friends and so on. 15. And now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. But I have heard of thee that thou canst give interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with purple, and have a chain of gold around thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, you remember the same thing happened to Joseph. Interesting. So, yes, this is what's about to happen. There's a man-child out there who has been born in the natural, who is about to be born as a ministry with the anointing. Yeah, that's another birth that we're about to see, and it's coming quickly. And I'm going to share that with you. And before I say that, let me say this. The real giant, Jesus in the man-child body of spiritual Davids, is coming now to destroy the faction, just as David did. And he also put garrisons in the Edomite cities, which is Esau's seed, who factioned against his brother, and until this day. In other words, he put garrisons in their cities. In other words, he jailed them. He threw them in the paddy wagon. Okay, so here's a revelation. The Lord induces labor of the man-child. Garrett Crawford received this. 5:25:20. In this dream, I was walking up to a large Colosseum. Colosseum, of course, is where a lot of people gather in rows, in larger and larger rows. I was told that I would be speaking in Colosseums, and I believe what the Lord showed me about this, and he's told other people that too. What he showed me about this is you speak to the first row, it goes to the second, it goes to the third. Every time you speak to one person, it goes to several other people. And then it's a geometric progression. That's what a Colosseum is. It's a geometric progression. And when you just remember, you're never speaking to one person when you speak of the things of the Lord. It goes from them, it multiplies, it goes from them, those that are multiplied, to another multiplication. It just keeps on going. So this large Colosseum, it was a large venue, and an event was going to happen inside. I remember I was quite early for the show, and they were not letting anyone in just yet. And as I was in front of the Colosseum, I saw David Eales walking over to me. I could not believe he was there too. It was a pleasant surprise. We had a brief conversation, and as we were talking, we saw a group of protesters. Oh, we're seeing them pretty regular now, huh? Across the street making some commotion. They kind of caught my attention, but David told me not to pay them any mind. I walked away from David and then walked back up near the Colosseum. I saw there a man standing behind a table. He might have been passing out literature, I'm not really sure, but he had a lot of materials on his table and he was giving them out. And although he doesn't really exist in real life, okay, so this is not maybe who you think it is, right? In the dream, I knew who he was, and I was quite familiar with him in the dream, right? He was David's right-hand man and assistant pastor. But he was very happy to see me and I him. We talked for a while, and he had great news to tell me. He said that UBM has an orphanage or mission in Kazakhstan or the surrounding country. Now, you know, God uses all kinds of things for parables. I'll explain the man that's a pastor who is an assistant to the Davids here. Kazakhstan's a land that had been conquered by the Mongols, but was later set free. And the Mongols were a fierce and vicious people who regarded not the lives of others and was factious against everybody. Very much like the deep state, which has also conquered many lands. And they don't mind care who they make wars between. They don't care who they kill or amount of people they kill. It doesn't make any difference to them as long as they make money and get power, right? Well, that's very similar to what we're talking about here. And these lands, of course, by the deep state, are being set free. So I think that's what Kazakhstan represents here. UBM does have an orphanage and mission in other countries. Some among peoples who are just like the vicious, factious people mentioned. And there are pastors there that are doing exactly that, handing out materials. So I understand this. This is what came to me when we got this. Okay. God is doing many mighty works there. Yes, he is. He told me the man child is about to be birthed, and they know the young girl in whom he is coming. She was a poor virgin girl in the church. In other words, among the factious peoples. Not of the factious peoples, but among. You know, the factious people are people who never go away, like normal people do. If they disagree with you, they just walk away. Nope. They stand around and chew and slander, and they have a purpose. Their only purpose and their only ministry is to destroy. And it's to destroy anybody that could have anything good or receive anything good from the Lord. And to destroy the materials and bring disrepute to the people who speak the materials. That's their whole ministry. They have no ministry to save people. They cannot be called Christians at all. And they're not. So this is a poor girl among these factious peoples. And and she is with child. He said they have seen the sign that he was ready to be birthed. I said, but it's too soon. I thought the same thing. It's too soon. He said, no, he is coming, and we have seen the sign. And, of course, we've been shown that the man-child will come sooner than people believe. And he will come early. And then this was a revelation that agreed with that. As he was explaining to me in greater detail, I had a vision of the womb of the young girl, and I could see the fetus of the man-child. It was a supernatural fetus, translucent and luminous like a glowing jellyfish. Translucent? Isn't that what Obama used to say he was? No, he's not. It was not a normal flesh and blood fetus, but a supernatural one. Well, this is a spiritual virgin birth in likeness to what happened to the first man child. No seed of man is able to bring forth this birth. As he continued speaking, my vision continued. I saw a hand stick what appeared to be a hooked rod, like a tiny little shepherd's rod, inside the womb of the mother. A hand stuck this little rod inside the womb of the mother. The rod was meant to induce labor. Of course, it's a shepherd's rod. I mean, I believe the man-child ministry has been shepherding sheep, much like David was before he was anointed to be king. And he defended the sheep from the lion and the bear and so on and so forth. All he desired to do was to do his job and take care of them sheep. And I believe that's what this means, this hooked rod being put in there inside the womb of the mother, because he said the rod was meant to induce labor. I saw the little rod scrape against the umbilical cord, and at that very moment, the little fetus made a quick reaction and assumed the position of a woman who was about to give birth. He was mimicking a woman in her labor position, knees up, legs open. It reminded me when a drill sergeant gives a command to a disciplined soldier. He stands at attention immediately. And this little fetus reacted just as fast to the command. And I was very impressed with the little guy. He was so little, not even a full baby yet, but had all an intelligence that was beyond his age. And when I saw this vision, I had trouble comprehending how such a small fetus was ready to be birthed. But labor was being induced, and he was coming out regardless. He had a note here. I feel like we have to be prepared that the man-child will come sooner than we think, or what he has planned for. Yes, a baby is born at 9 months, but this baby was only about 5 or 6 months old. Okay. We thought this might happen in the spring, but it, I believe, is going to happen much sooner. And then he got a confirmation of this in a dam collapse and a flood, which was a sign of the water breaking. And Garrett Crawford got this on 7/1/20. For a few months, I have been getting this recurring image in my mind of a dam breaking and a great flood ensuing. I often connected it to the water breaking of a woman before her child is born. I would find myself asking the Lord if we would see a physical dam, sign of a dam breaking, before the man-child is birthed. And I have never gotten an answer. Well, maybe today I got the answer. But only time will tell and be the judge. The dam image came to my mind again today while I was out riding my scooter. I was thinking, hey, we really need to be watching for a great big dam to break. Maybe like the Three Gorges Dam in China or Hoover Dam in the United States. Something may possibly happen in the future. That's what he was thinking. Okay. As I got home, I thought about my dream concerning Kazakhstan and the surrounding region. I thought, I wonder if a dam will break in that area. The Lord puts these thoughts in your mind before He confirms them, right? Maybe that is the area where a dam will break one day. So I looked it up, and to my amazement, a large dam just broke and flooded the entire area between Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan on May the 5th. I thought it could very well be the sign of the woman's water, that the woman's water had broke. Then he has a link here to the dam burst, displacing over 70,000 in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. He said, you know, oftentimes we want big, huge signs, something momentous. Or he got monumentous. I guess that's even bigger. Something we can point to and all the world will marvel with us and acknowledge the hand of God. Yes, that would be nice. We always feel like we'd like to see something like that. And we will see some big stuff. I mean, some big stuff coming. I'm talking about big earthquakes, big dams breaking, you know, nuke power plants, everything that works. But I have found that usually signs are hidden and discreet, not able to be discerned by the world and the worldly church. What does a dam inside some Muslim country that nobody has ever heard of have to do with the birth of the man-child? Well, my thought is the birth of the man-child is in the midst of the factious people who do not believe and fight against His coming. You remember when Jesus was born and it was prophesied that this child is for the rising and falling of many. He's not coming to do just what Jesus did. If you look in Isaiah 61, Jesus left off before He started the wrath part. That part the Lord is going to do through the man-child. Or Isaiah 11, where it talks about the man-child not judging after the seeing of his eyes or hearing of his ears. The man-child is going to bring judgment upon the wicked. Just like David did. He destroyed the enemies of God's people. And he said, I don't know, but I do know this. When the man-child Jesus was born, the sign was only seen by a few. Aha, that's true. While the whole of Israel, who were all awaiting the Messiah, missed the birth because they were waiting on something on a much grander scale. Yep, if you remember the shepherds, you know, and the Magi. It was always, you know, small groups. A shepherd is the same word for pastors, so there's a few pastors out there that are believing in this sign and so on. He goes on to say, only a few shepherds were given the sign from the angel that a child was born in a place of no significant importance. I don't know why God showed me the young girl who was carrying the man-child and why she was in the area around Kazakhstan. That's what I believe. I believe I've explained that pretty clearly. But by faith, I included that in the retelling of the dream. I wanted to leave it out because it made no sense at all. But I think that it was part of the clue. Absolutely, absolutely. And we see now that it was more important than even I first realized. I also have learned the very signs that we are waiting for might have already come to pass without us being aware. Yes, that's certainly happened with the dam situation. And some signs go past and we don't see them until afterwards. That happens. We've had so many very good and beautiful signs of the coming of the man-child. But that's what they were, signs, not the coming of the man-child, but signs of the coming of the man-child. And, of course, in every case, we watched and waited. We wanted to see the physical happening, you know. But in every case, it was just a sign, and for a time coming down the road. And thank you, Father, that the time is happening, because here we have the true sign of the birthing of the man-child. Just like the Jews who for 2,000 years have awaited for the sign of the coming of their Messiah. They missed it. They missed it. They're waiting for something that has already happened. Good point, Garrett. Yes, a good point. All right, that leads us to this revelation that Garrett just got. We called it Usurper Overthrown, Man-Child Anointed. Yes, there is a usurper, a major usurpation of people wanting to remove the man-child, just like the Jews wanted to remove Jesus, wanted to overthrow him, right? And the harlot wanting to throw Joseph into prison, but he couldn't miss his designed path of God, right? And, of course, this is Garrett Crawford's revelation. He said, as I was reading the email David sent, and that was about the man-child being before the Lord, okay, the word of the Lord came to me. I didn't even have time to ponder on it. It came instantly out of nowhere. And here it is. Now, King David was old and stricken in years. This is a good thing, because the old man is passing away and his fruit is coming forth. You see, the man child who was in the David is coming forth, right? Yeah. So you see, there are wonderful parables, and you can see the reasoning in all of them. You know, you just don't want to mix the lines of the parables. Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Therefore, his servants said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king and cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the borders of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite. The Shunammite, of course, is a wonderful revelation in itself. You know, there's the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, the perfected one, you know, in the Song of Solomon, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and she cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Now, we're getting to the important part here. Then Adonijah, who was a factious usurper, the son of Haggith, and he was a son of David, like the factious leader, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And he has his little entourage already. And I was told years ago that he would gather the faction against us to their own destruction. And verse 6, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he was also a very goodly man, and he was born after Absalom. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. There have been a few factious leaders who were sons of David spiritually, but lusted for authority that wasn't given to them by God. Verse 7, And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. So they were these people who fell away from David to help make this usurper king, which is what he lusted for so much. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shemaiah and Reah and the mighty men that belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Well, of course not. He was a usurper. He was trying to take a position that wasn't his, wasn't given by God, and he failed. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside Enrogel. And he called all of his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and all the mighty men and Solomon, his brother, he called not. Well, he already knew that Solomon was planned to be king by God. And they don't normally call people who are righteous and see through them. We have invaded their inner sanctums where they lure unsuspecting victims in to slander and rail against us and make their plans and their plots and their schemes. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. But Psalm 21:11 was given to us several times. For they intended evil against thee. They conceived a device which they are not able to perform. And that is because God, the real God, is sitting on the throne. He hasn't abdicated to Satan, their God. Then Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. They want to do a quick job here, getting the truth across to David here. And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was ministering unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, What wouldest thou? And she said unto him, My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And by the way, that throne was called, in Solomon's time, the throne of the Lord. Yes, it was the Lord's throne on the earth. And, of course, you know, the man-child is caught up to the throne. And that's what this represents. Solomon, who means peaceful. He's the Prince of Peace, Prince under David, Prince of Peace. We know who the Prince of Peace is. It's Jesus. And Jesus is here in David's fruit, born of David. Once again, there is a man-child coming out of the old life of David. Now, David was still alive when Solomon was made king. He wasn't ruling. It's kind of like, I must decrease, but he must increase. Yeah, that's what's happening, you see. So, verse 18. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth, and thou, my lord the king, knowest it not. But he hath slain oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. Well, of course not. And thou, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come to pass that when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. Yeah, that happened a few times, didn't it? And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. And they told the king, saying, Behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, My lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me? And he shall sit upon my throne? For he is gone down this day, and hath slain oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons, and the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they are eating and drinking before him, and say, Long live King Adonijah. Oh, I know he loved that. Everybody that lusts for power is not equipped to have it. They are the worst of the worst. You know, the people who didn't want power, like Moses, Lord, send somebody else. I'm slow of tongue. And so, you know, these are the people that God called. The people that don't want to put on a big show and look good in front of other people. You know, I know the factious people. They're proud. And they live to be seen of men and not God. They couldn't do the things they do if they believed God was looking or that he was going to do anything. And we know from the book of Psalms that they never do believe God's going to do something. They always believe that they will have the victory. The demons in them make them think that they're going to have a victory. There's one thing I have discovered among demon-possessed people. Just a couple of instances here. When the false revival movement came, those people were so confident in their God, although he wasn't the God, that they took steps of faith in their God and they failed. They just knew they were going to have the victory, and they never did. And many of them died trusting in their God. That's right. I knew a couple like that. God told me I can't answer their prayers. It's not me that they're believing in. And so it's the way with the faction everywhere. That was the false revival movement. And then what followed that was this faction movement. And they are just so confident that they're, I mean, in the very first faction, when it began, they had what they call the trial. They were coming in there saying, oh, it has to happen. We're sorry, but we know it's going to happen, blah, 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 blah. And everybody turned against them because they knew they were demon-possessed. Mm-hmm. It was a total failure to overthrow who? Me. And I told the factious leader at that time, I said, you know, if you could overthrow me, what would you do with UBM? You're not a teacher, and you're not a good biblical leader. What would you do with UBM? He looked at me with a big question on his face and never gave me an answer. Yes, because they don't ever think about that. So, verse 26 says, but me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called. In this thing, is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed unto thy servants? Well, no, he was getting a revelation here. Who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, call to me Bathsheba. And she came in into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, who hath delivered my soul out of all adversity, verily I swear unto thee by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon, my son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Verily, so will I do this day. Well, for one thing, David was delivered out of all adversity. And they think that they're going to overthrow me. I think that's just a parable of the larger body who is also these factious people are seeking to overthrow. Yes, that's a fact. And then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and did obeisance to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, call to me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. And the king said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And blow ye the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be prince over Israel and over Judah. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. The Lord, the God of my lord the king, say so too. As the Lord hath been with my lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. Yes. When Jesus comes and he anoints the man child, that's the giant right there. So, Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took the horn of oil out of the tent and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And Adonijah and all of the guests that were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said, come in, for thou art a worthy man, and bring us good tidings. No, well, not exactly. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily, our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. And the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, thy God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also thus saith the king, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. You remember that David stored up materials for the building of God's house. He thought to build God's house, but the Lord said, no, you are a man of war. Your man-child is a man of peace. He is going to build the house. So you see here, this is the same story. And this is how it happened. It happened when there was an attempted usurpation of his throne, which was put down, and we'll explain the rest of that here. And all the guests of Adonijah were afraid. Oh, yes. And rose up and went every man his way. Oh, my goodness. The faction scattered. There it is, right there. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon. And he arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he hath laid hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me, first that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said wisely, if he shall show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness be found in him, he shall die. Well, sadly, he did find wickedness of him because he never departed from his sinful lusts, right, to be king and to take it away from Solomon. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and did obeisance to King Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, go to thy house. Okay, so to make it a little shorter, we know that Adonijah, the factious usurper, a type of the factious leader, went on to try to take the virgin bride of David, Abishag, the Shunammite. Adonijah asked Bathsheba to request Solomon to give him Abishag to wife, and that was in 1 Kings 2:13-18. She then delivers the request to Solomon. Abishag's relationship with David would then link her factious husband to the throne, and Solomon knew this. And since the factious usurper did not repent, he had him killed. And you know that David, when he came to the throne, again, I'll say, he first conquered Jebus. which was Jerusalem, while the old man was still in control of it. He conquered Jebus, who was the bride, Jerusalem. He conquered the old man of Jebus. In other words, he sanctified the bride. David's first job, you know, after his anointing, was to sanctify the bride. And when he was through sanctifying the bride, he started conquering the enemies of God's people. And nothing could stand before him. Nothing. And the Edomites, he conquered. That was Esau's seed, who factioned against their brother, and with a constant attacks against Israel, whom they hated so much. And of course, David conquered them. So, what do we deduce from all this? Adonijah, the usurper, a son of David, will fail when the Lord, the Prince of Peace, in the man-child comes. And as the outer man of David is decaying, the inner man is being renewed. The Prince of Peace, we know as Jesus. Solomon represents, Solomon meaning peaceful, right? A man of peace who would build the temple. A man in whom the Prince of Peace lives, right? The man-child. So this is Jesus in the man-child, the son of David, is coming to slay Adonijah. Adonijah, a type of the factious leader, the usurper son of David, will fail when the Lord comes in the man-child. And as the outer man, David, is decaying, the inner spiritual man and fruit of David is being renewed. The Prince of Peace, Solomon, meaning peaceful, the son of David, is coming to slay Adonijah, who sought to take the bride so that he could have the kingdom. And the factious leader fits all of this. Very interesting. Okay, I have another very interesting, and I think you'll enjoy this too. The left, the factious, is seeking to overthrow Trump, who is in parallel to the man-child, as we've seen. And one way that they're seeking to do that is by spreading COVID-19. I held this out for a little while. I did not share it with you because I wanted to give President Trump time to do something about it. Okay, so I held it out for a while. This is Sandy Shaw's Revelation 6:19-20. In this dream, I was standing in a coliseum. There were people dressed in black. Notice it's a coliseum again. There were people dressed in black, and these people weren't, in cahoots with one another. They didn't know that one another had these dreams, you see. Just confirmations, you know. In this dream, I was standing in the Colosseum. There were people dressed all in black, but it wasn't street clothes. In other words, they were walking in total darkness. And I believe this is Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Islam, and all the rest of that bunch. They were completely covered with gloves and face masks that covered the whole head except the eyes. They wore special goggles and face shields. When do they do this? You know, when do people do all this? They do this because of a disease that they were working to spread, COVID-19. I'll update this a little bit from when I first worked on it. Now they are spreading it all over the world at once. This new wave is spreading all over the world at one time, which is not how a second wave would spread. But they have to beat the heat, which would kill it. And especially they spread it in Texas, the state Obama hates the most, because they resisted everything Obama did. And he hates them. And he has made weather warfare against them when they defied him. So anyway, the numbers are inflated because if one person is sick, they count the whole household as being sick. As they put them in quarantine, everybody they put in quarantine around this person, they claim them too. So they've inflated the numbers again. They're liars. They cannot tell the truth. Just like all factious people are liars and cannot tell the truth. And anybody that's close to them is suspect, and they claim them as part of the numbers. Okay. Some had a spray bottle in one hand and a rag in the other. Then the next thing I see are the air ducts. They are all spraying and wiping all of them in order to spread the plague through the air, right? And when they got to the end of where the air filter was, they really sprayed and saturated it. They then padded it with a cloth. In other words, to spread the plague through the air. Remember, I sent this to President Trump. And I did have a vision, as I shared with you in the vision, that I was wondering, Lord, is he getting any of this? It seemed like he was getting it, but I would like to have been assured. And then I saw an open vision early in the morning. I was in a line of people going to see Trump, but I was at the end of the line. And I looked to the side, and there was a door open, just a crack. I went over there and opened the door and went through. And there I saw President Trump, and I prayed for him, and we spoke together. And so the Lord was just letting me know, hey, it's getting through to him. Okay, praise God. So it goes on to say, now I'm back down where the seating was, and they're spraying and wiping every single seat. They wiped all handrails. There was a man, I think, because of his build, because he was dressed like all the others in black, that he was mopping every inch of the floor. They were even wiping down all the bathrooms. I even thought, how nice, they are sanitizing everything. But I was wrong in the dream. There were two people talking, and one says to the other, quote, the nerve of him to have a rally here. He knows we're all Democrats, unquote. Yeah, right. A rally in a Democratic stronghold, or let me say more likely, spiritually, the president's rallies across the U.S. where he is protested by the Democrats. In other words, this may be bigger than just one rally. In fact, I believe it's all over the world. That's why this stuff is cropping up at one time. That's not the way this stuff spreads. It's not that contagious, and it couldn't even physically do that, you know. So I believe that they're continuing to spread. This is clearly saying that these leftists, maniacs are trying to kill people to bring disrepute to Trump. In the dream, I knew a small amount of time has passed, and there is a man that I just knew that was from the Trump team. And he was talking and asking a man working for the venue, and he said, "Has everything been sanitized?" And the worker answered in a sinister kind of way, with a crooked grin, because he knew what was done. He answered, "Yes, yes, sir. Everything has been wiped, top to bottom." Then I'm looking at the headlines of a newspaper, and it said, quote, "Donald Trump is responsible for thousands of people coming down with COVID-19, unquote. It's not just people, it's his own admirers, right? Of course, it's the righteous people, the right people, not necessarily righteous as Christianity is involved, but the people on the right wing, right? And then I woke up. Well, my email to the president included the dream without my notes, because it's real self-explanatory, and I'm pretty sure he can figure it out. They have said openly, this is what I said to him. I said, "They have said openly that you would be responsible for the second wave if you opened your rallies. And remember, I told you that they were going to spray the first wave by chemtrails almost 3 years ago. And you know that now you know they did." Well, the reason I said that is because they conquered Area 51 and they found the chemtrail vats had COVID-19 in them. Just what I told him 3 years ago. So now they know that what I told them was the truth. And also, I told them at that time, almost 3 years ago, that Antifa and BLM and Islam would burn cities and churches. And now they have. And this is no credit to us, but God has been speaking to us this way for many years. I'm still telling you what I told him. You know, dreams are sometimes prophecy and will come to pass, and sometimes warnings that can be avoided. And I said a few more things to him. So that was that. I'm going to share one more thing here with you. So, you know, obviously this is going to be revealed. You can't do this and get away with it. They know who's doing this. That's one reason that they're going out to strong arm these wicked people and lock them up, is they've been watching what they're doing. Trump has the NSA. The Trump NSA has everything anybody's ever spoke by any media whatsoever. He knows it all. They have been waiting and watching the people they know are guilty to collect all the information they need to overwhelm any court that these people are innocent. And it's a tactic that's going to work. You notice they were very boldly snatching them up and throwing them in the paddy wagon. Didn't pay a bit of attention to what they were saying because it's too late. We got you. So this next little revelation is a great one. It's how that God uses faction to clean the body of evil. Temptation is how God cleans the body of evil. The wicked, they put on a pretty good show while they're among you because everybody likes to be accepted. But underneath, they're full of dead men's bones. And the faction is a way to reveal this wickedness, because when the temptation comes, they fall forward immediately. They disobey every rule, every law that they've learned here in UBM about the relationship with the body. Matthew 18, 15 through 17, they disobey. receiving not an accusation against an elder. They disobey. They disobeyed everything. They break every law, just like the ones that are against the government of Trump. They break every law. These demons are notorious for this. So this faction is a temptation. You know, in the Old Testament also speaks about a false prophet coming in to test the people to see who it is that loves the Lord. And that happens. A deceiver comes in, and guess who he takes out? The ones that are infiltrating the body, but are not true believers, as was quoted here earlier, you see. So, and this is about the faction cleaning the body of evil. And this was given to Debbie Finske, 7:2-20. And it's very simple. It was a word that she received. She said, I share this random word that I actually asked for myself just to see what God would give me concerning the fast. We're on a spiritual fast. The Lord has ordained it. It is leading up to the time the man-child is born. Okay. It's an interesting confirmation of what the Lord wants us to do, or wants done in us, right? Meaning, being cleansed when the man-child reformer ministry comes. And what he wants to do in us before he does what we know he is quickly going to do. That's right. Yeah, we've already talked about all that, you know. And we know that he has used faction and witchcraft spirits to cleanse his body of evil people and spirits, because everybody's being so careful that they don't want to fall into any traps because of any sins. And so it has a way of causing you to be careful for your brother and love your brother and do good for your brother, something the faction never could do because it got in the way of their ego. So she landed in 2 Chronicles 29:18, in context 16-19. And here it is. So the priests went in to the inner part of the house of the Lord. And who is the house of the Lord? It is God's people, in whom his presence lives. You can't say everybody is the house of the Lord if Jesus doesn't live in them. I was sharing with the brethren the other night how that we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. I said, but first you have to know what the Lord looks like. And that's why we read the Word, because the Word is the Lord, according to what he told John in John chapter 1, and also in John in Revelation. His name was the Word. He is the Word. You cannot separate the Word from the Lord. If you know the Word, you know the face of the Lord. If you don't know the Word, you could be looking at anybody there, and every one of them is Antichrist. Because anti means not only against, but beside. See, they have propped up their own Lord who approves of their evil works. The faction are Satanists. They're Satanists because they follow Satan. Just like the Satanists rule over the people who are running against the government. Those are Satanists. And the faction, of course, would never admit that they're Satanists. But that's who they follow. Totally contrary to everything God wants to do or God ordained to do or whatever. So they went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. In other words, there are things that are among the people of God who do not belong there. And, of course, there are sins that do not belong there, and on and on. But to cleanse it. and every unclean thing which they found in the temple of the Lord, they brought out to the court of the house of the Lord. Get it out of the temple. If it's unclean, if it's contrary to the word, if it's contrary to the will of God, get it out. Well, God's been totally behind this, and that's why he's raised up the faction. They test, they tempt, like the devil himself tempted Jesus. He wanted him to fall, you know. And so this, we wouldn't have this situation today. His servant you are, whom you obey, right? So these people test God's people. That's what they do. They speak lies and slander to them. And these people, just like these factious people, they learned from the scripture what God permits and what he doesn't permit. And they were well educated before they fell away to the very thing they were warned and warned and warned about. But my hands are clean. I told them the truth. And they fell away because they loved sin and evil more than they loved the Lord. So, they were to go into the temple, the true temple of God, and clean out everything that didn't belong there. And then the Levites received it to carry out to the Kidron Valley. They were going to flush it. Drain the swamp, Lord. Thank you so much for draining the swamp, both the political swamp and the church swamp, Lord. We want to be shiny clean. And all the brethren out there who are abiding in the bride and desiring to be holy and pure before God are getting what they want. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How can uncleanness stay in a person like that? A person who loves the Lord. What we're finding out is, who is it that loves the Lord? So I shared with the brethren, you know, I said, a lot of people have another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit, like Paul said. They've made up their own Jesus who permits them to live their life in sin. And he smiles upon their sin. So they've made up their own Jesus. And they come into the image, literally, of that Jesus. Did you know? Have you ever noticed how preachers, you know, who harp on certain things, their disciples end up being just like them, speaking just like them, acting just like them? Why the early disciples who followed Jesus faithfully, how they ended up acting just like him, speaking just like him, doing what he did, so on and so forth, they were true disciples. There are many people out there that are following after men who haven't got the right to be ministers in the first place because they haven't been filled with the Spirit of God and they're not overcomers. I told a brother who's over a bunch of pastors the other day, I said, you know, he was asking, you know, do you have a teaching for pastors? I said, sure do. I got one in particular. I said, to him that overcometh will I give authority. I said, anybody who is not an overcomer, they have no position in the body of Christ. They have no position in the fivefold ministry whatsoever. I said, that's the number one rule, is to get the board out of your eye so you can see clearly, to get the mote out of your brother's eye. And if they can't do that, they cannot ascend the throne. They're just usurpers. And they've got another Jesus, one who smiles upon them as they make war against the very people that he sent. Just like, let me say, go back. Look at the history in the Bible, because it is true history. They, all these people, these factious people, made war on everybody that was sent by God. That's how you know who's who. They constantly make war. They don't just nibble on their heels and come back. No, they just sit there all the time persecuting them. And they end up killing the people that are sent by God, just as Jesus' parable said. There's nothing new under the sun. It's everything just repeating on a larger scale. This is what's happening, you see. So, verse 17 says, now they began the consecration on the first day of the first month. And on the eighth day of the month, which is what the day of circumcision or cutting off of the flesh of the way a man sows his seed, right? You cut away the flesh so that when you sow, you reap a good harvest, right? You bear fruit. And on the eighth day of the month, they entered the porch of the Lord. Then they consecrated the house of the Lord in 8 days and finished on the 16th day of the first month. Well, all right. And you know, 8 is the number of Jesus, right? The gematria for Jesus, Jesus, is 888. Praise the Lord. And what is this house that we're building? Is it not the house of the Lord? In other words, the body of Christ, as I often say, who is it that lives in the body of Christ? He does. Who is he? The Word of God. Does the Word of God live in you? If a person is rebellious against the Word of God, and they totally ignore you when you give them the clear revelation of the Word of God, they are reprobated. They are controlled by demons. There's no conscience there. So, this is what the house of the Lord is. It is the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, the true people of God. And any foreign entity there, whether it inhabits a person or whether it is a person, has to go. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Now, Jesus said that. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. And he was the manna, the man, that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world. If we eat this manna, and, you know, as I was saying to our brethren here the other day, if you eat this manna a day's worth every day and not try to save up some of your manna for the next day in which it breeds worms. In other words, you're going to get your manna today and tomorrow's got another day's manna. If you save today's up for tomorrow, guess what? You missed what you needed to get today. And it bred worms, meaning they never got to eat it. If you don't get your manna today, you're never going to get to eat it because tomorrow's manna is tomorrow's manna. You understand? And every day we feed into that spiritual man like a little baby inside of us that needs to be fed and nourished until it's revealed to the world. Jesus said, those that do the will of my Father are my mother. We are bringing forth the man-child. The first fruits are the man-child that is coming. They're going to be given a ministry to raise up the rest of the body of the church that doesn't have the revelation that they need to walk away from their flesh and to believe the gospel. Amen. So they consecrated the house of the Lord in 8 days. How awesome. Would that it was that easy. I've been warring to do this and wanting to do this for a long time. And I've seen the progress. In fact, I can tell you today that we have the most loving people, caring people, careful to be obedient, than we've had all the time that these fakes were among us. Listen, I can tell you that we have not missed them. When they leave, it doesn't matter what kind of natural gift they have, God makes up the difference every time. And we notice something else. The air is cleaner. We feel the presence of the Lord. We've had people come in among us and play music, and demons are suddenly moving because of their music, just dancing and doing all kinds of stuff. I had one girl ask me, why are those demons dancing around? It was one of the people that was doing the music. Of course, he's gone now. Those demons were manifesting, and everybody knew it. They saw it. Did you know that demons can manifest through the music of a person who is demon-possessed? Yes. Not only that, we saw the demons over infectious people before. We didn't always tell them, but we knew who they were. There's nobody that ever fell into faction that we didn't get a dream or more than one dream about them falling into faction. Nobody. One guy who is actually the factious leader today, he fell into it 4 times. And it's not going to be the same this time. I actually had a dream of him going out and coming in 3 times, and that was the end of it. That was the dream. That was the last chance. It was just 3 times. So, it's sad. We love the people. We want their best. We pray for them. Constantly, the brethren here will tell you that. We pray for them constantly. We want all of the elect among the faction to be saved. We admit that there are some among them who are going through this to basically destroy their faith in themselves and their faith that they're able to do anything outside of God. And their understanding that what brought them to this place was disobeying the clear word of God and trying to hide their sin among the people of God. The dreams wouldn't let them hide their sin, and the revelation of them falling into faction proved who they were. And by the way, I'm just looking at my clock here, and it says 1:11. Do you know what 1:11 is? I've been getting 1:11. It's an astounding revelation. 1:11. I've been seeing 144, which is a revelation of the man-child, the 144,000. You know, it's a revelation of that. I've been getting revelation of that 3 and 4 times in a day. And now I'm starting to see 1:11. Do you know what 1:11 is? Everywhere you see anything about the man-child Jesus being birthed, the gematria there is 1:11. I've got a list of them. It's astounding. 1:11 is a man-child number. And what God's been saying to me more than ever is he's on the way. And he's going to take care of our persecutors. So we're praying today, especially for those who are of the elect, that their eyes will be opened and they will understand the wicked people that they're among and how they got deceived by these people and how they got these demons on them that took away their understanding. We're praying. We're praying. Okay. Verse 18. Then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, we have cleansed the whole house of the Lord. the altar of burnt offering with all of its utensils. And of course, that's the place where you put your flesh on the altar and it's burned up. You know how you put your flesh on the altar? You don't give it what it wants. You don't obey it. Every time you obey it and feed it, it gets bigger. You remember my revelation about bigger, bigger, bigger? That's it. And my revelation about smaller, smaller, smaller? That's the way of life for the true Christians. The others cannot give up their flesh, and they won't give up their flesh. We've cleansed the whole house of the Lord. Are we coming to that place? Yes. You know, there are people who are justified by faith. They're ignorant of some things, and that's okay. You know, every child growing up is ignorant of some things, and children stumble and fall. That's just kind of normal till they learn how to walk better and better. And as I was saying the other night, we overcome by degrees. We don't fall this time as much as we fell the last time. And pretty soon we don't fall at all. Just like a child growing up. It's normal. It's natural. But some people, they stumble until the day they die. The Lord said that He kept them in that position because of their sins. So we have cleansed the whole house of the Lord. In other words, now they're all walking in the light that they have and that they know. There are no willful disobedience. There's no stubborn rebellion. There's no faction, which is an unforgivable sin. Did you know that? Why is it an unforgivable sin? Because as long as you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. Is it the unforgivable sin? No. But if you are still in faction and unforgiveness and criticism and anger and hatred against your brother, you are not saved. Listen to me. Because you cannot be forgiven according to Jesus' own words. Can you get forgiven? Of course. But you have to forgive to get that. And they can't do it. And they'll tell you, oh, I've forgiven you. But it's a big, fat lie, like everything else that they do. We've cleansed the whole house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering, with all of its utensils. Amen. There are some sacrifices that people make that, you know, the Lord scoffs at. They're offering an unclean life before the Lord, and thinking that this won't offend Him, you know. And the table of showbread with all its utensils, right? Table of showbread was the bread of heaven, the bread that David and his men ate when the Lord said that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. If you follow Jesus, you're keeping the Sabbath. If you're not following Him as His word points out, you're not keeping the Sabbath. It's an eternal covenant, the Sabbath is. And that's what it means in the New Testament. If you're not following the word of the Lord, you are not keeping the Sabbath. You are not ceasing from your own works. It doesn't matter what Jesus you're following. It's Antichrist. In verse 19, moreover, all of the utensils which King Ahaz had discarded during his reign in his unfaithfulness, we have prepared and consecrated. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Yes, Ahaz was a rebellious, unfaithful king. He brought uncleanness into the house. You know, the usurper kings, sons of David, they brought uncleanness into the house, but it went with them. And anybody that was unclean because of them went with them. So God is cleansing His house, the house of the Lord. And I can see the fruit, and I love it. It's a sad thing to me because I loved all the people that fell away, but I understand what's wrong. I understand what's wrong with them. We knew it too before they fell. It was revealed. You can't come among this bunch. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't come among this bunch without the Lord pointing out anything that is wrong. It's not that anybody is overbearing or legalistic. There is no such thing here. There is nothing but peace here. And every correction is from love. But you know, let me point out to you that there are some people who cannot be corrected. The fool hates correction. They cannot. They've been caught in this trap, in many cases, of rejection. And rejection causes a person to seek admiration or acceptance and so on. And, of course, they like to have positions. This is a trap that this demon, one of the worst demons and the most common demons in all of Christianity, that's attacking and having some fruit. And it is rejection. People that believe they're rejected, they hate the feeling, they're tired of it. And so they go to the opposite pole, seeking the acceptance and the pleasing of man. They're men pleasers. And so if you don't please them, they reject you. You know, if you tell them any correction whatsoever, as kindly and as patiently and as faithful as you can, it doesn't make any difference. They explode. Believe me, it's totally unreasonable, but what's happening is God is removing them because they haven't rejected these lying spirits. See, he's removing them. They are the most dangerous people I've discovered among God's people. And that is the people with rejection. They can explode at any moment. They are Judases. Judas was one of them. He was one of them. He had rejection. And he could not take a correction from the Lord. He exploded and Satan entered him and he went to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Yep. And there are many Judases today. As we pointed out about the son of perdition in Hidden Manna, among the body, there is another body called the son of perdition. You will find out who they are. Because they are always traitors to the faithful. Always. They were ordained to be that. Somebody's got to bring you to your cross. Right? Somebody's got to do that work. And God chooses vessels of dishonor to do that. He has all vessels work for him. All vessels of honor or dishonor work for him to bring about the perfecting of the true people of God. God's plan is the best. It's the wicked don't understand it, but it is the best. It is necessary to go through tribulation. Much of the church today has made up a doctrine that they're going to fly away from all tribulation. But through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. This tribulation is separating the wheat from the tares. That's what it's for. Without it, you just have a polluted body. Without persecution, these people don't come out. And without correction, they don't come out. Because you can go to a lot of churches where they do everything to please the people, not to please God. Or to make the body holy, but to please people. And of course, you've got a polluted body there in every instance. But if you've got a holy body, it's because the word is being shared, who is Jesus. And the word is offensive to the wicked. Not necessarily loosely Christianity is offending them. No, no. It's the word that's offending them. And if you do teach and preach the word and do not depart from it for anybody, they will be your enemy. And they will come out. They will be revealed. There are a lot of churches out there that there's no such judgment on them. Why? Because they're not a holy body. And they're seeking to be men pleasers. And they want the tithes to come in. And so on and so forth. They're not a holy body. Why do they not have to these sanctification problems? You know? Because they're not a holy body and it's impossible to make them one. They're too polluted. You know, I remember the denominations. How that when one of them would come into a revival and the Holy Spirit would be poured out, there were a number of people that took that and ran with it. And, of course, the first thing you do is depart from the denominations because they're dirty. Just like every denomination in Jesus' day were all dirty. Not one of them followed him, but the disciples who were called the church, the called out ones, came out of those denominations. So it is today. You know, we always end up gathering a lot of come outers, but some people come out and they're going back, just like when they came out of Egypt. They were always in their mind and in their heart going back by the flesh pots. You know, let's go back to the flesh pots. Yeah. Couldn't stand the word, didn't like the manna. Oh, you don't like my manna? I'll give you flesh until it comes out of your nose, God said. Yeah. So, of course, God is perfecting a body like the parable of the sower. Remember the parable of the sower? There were four types or groups who received the word. They heard the word. But for different reasons, they all fell away, all fleshly reasons. Fell among the thorns, by the wayside, sprung up, had no deepness of earth. On and on. Different reasons, fleshly reasons. They gave up the word. They gave up eternal life. Let me say that of the people that hear the word and sometimes rejoice at the word, it means nothing if you don't endure to the end to be sanctified. It means nothing. Except that you know more and you're responsible for more, and you will be tormented with many more problems than the person who did not know. These people who fell away, they knew more than most all of your denominational people out there know. They were held to a higher standard because they knew more. To whom much is received, much is given. Or is expected, excuse me. Much is expected. So, why did God so drastically reprobate these people? Because they knew it and they turned against it. In other words, it was willful disobedience. Is there a people among them that were just deceived and they will come out? Yes, we've seen a few of them. That they were seeking to be faithful to the Lord. They were just deceived because someone spoke slander and they didn't turn away. Some cases because they had rejection and so they didn't want to offend the person. So they sat and listened and they were just taken out. Because there are demons in their words and they are in total rebellion against God. So the people who are educated in all these things and still do it, they are reprobated quite often because, as Jesus taught in Hebrews chapter 6, they've gone too far to turn back. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They were filled with the knowledge of God. They received the gifts of God and yet turned away. He said it's impossible to renew them to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put into an open shame. Also Hebrews 10, 26, 27, 28. So, you see, that's why God treats them so harshly. And, Father, we thank you that you're going to get your elect out from among them. We know that you are judging these people. We've done our best, Lord, to warn the people about who these people are and that they're seeking to entrap them in their little inner sanctums where they gather to draw people in and deceive them. And, of course, we know exactly what's going on, and we're not going to tell them why. You know, they used to, the leader used to tell me all the time, we have a spy. There's never, ever been a spy in our midst that we didn't know who they were. Not once. The dreams, the visions, the revelations revealed who they were every time. So, of course, we were careful around these people. But they don't know that our spies are much better than theirs. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. You have shown us all. And it's just exactly like Trump and Barr, Lord. They have all the evidence they need, and there's absolutely nothing that the wicked can do about it. And thank you, Father, for showing this parable to God's true people who will understand it. The wicked will never understand, as Jesus said. They will go to their destruction, not understanding. People that understood parables, understood interpretation of parables, now do not understand anything. They don't believe in the man-child anymore, or else they believe that they are the man-child. It's either one deception or the other. And I've heard them say it, that they believe they're the man-child, or they're an apostle, or they're a prophet, when they're really nothing. Because to him that overcometh, to him will I give authority. So, Lord, they always like to claim titles, positions, like Adonijah. Claim something that's not given to them by God. But Satan pushed them to get them in a position so that they could hopefully do this, because he wants to take over the people of God. The dragon spews out of his mouth the water to take the woman, but the earth swallows the water. And these are not the washing of the water with the word. This is deception water to take the woman, but the earth swallows it. And then the people see, oh, the earth is swallowing it. It's no good. It's no good because they're swallowing it. Yeah. And that's what the dragon is doing, seeking to capture the woman in the wilderness. First trying to destroy the man-child, devour him, meaning bring him into their body. And then when they failed to get the man-child, they went after the woman. But the man-child taught the woman in the wilderness and gave them the wings of the eagle, so that they could fly to their place of safety, right? Overcomers. They overcame the world with those wings, right? Amen. Thank you, Father, for the good things you're about to show your people and the justice you're going to reveal to them concerning the wicked. Everybody needs to see that, Lord. You love justice. We know it. But you have a plot and a plan, and it will come to pass, and it will sanctify your people. And we love you, Lord, for all you do for us. And we thank you. We are so unworthy, Lord, that It's just awesome. We are so unworthy, but you give us grace. You gave us grace to see and to overcome, and we ask that you'll continue to do that work that you started in us and to finish it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, saints. Many blessings to you. And we'll do this again sometime. God bless you to stay on the narrow road. Get the word every day in your mouth and in your heart. Every day. It's the most important thing. God bless you and keep you. Good night.